This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
10 o'clock on this Monday. It is Three Man Front. Lance from Pat. John, we are here. Glad you are here. Hope you're having a wonderful Monday. Maybe not quite as eventful as last Monday. We got so many reactions. Never saw the Alabama loss to Texas A&M and College Station happening. Auburn coming off the loss to Georgia. Much better news for, I guess, fans everywhere here in the state of Alabama.
In the state of Alabama, there's no question. Everybody's pretty excited about the weekend that was. But if you're up in Knoxville, Tennessee, if you're down in Gainesville, Florida, maybe not so happy about things. But, you know, the fans are doing back handsprings down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Not only did you get a win, but you got rid of your coach.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. This goes back to the conversation we'd had multiple times. You can go ahead and let him know. So apparently when he addressed the media and said, you know, I'm just focused on this. He knew he was getting the buyout because Scott Woodward, the LSU athletic director, went to him after the Kentucky game and said, hey, Coach O, you're out. $17.5 million. Pretty good deal. Now, you had thought maybe that LSU would try to fight it a little bit and not recoup some of those monies and fire him with cause, but for whatever reason, they've decided to just say, you know what, let's move on.
At the end of the day, the president of the university decided, you know what, let's just go ahead, let's do the clean break, let's end it now, finish it off. It's just some interesting things that is in his paperwork as he is heading out the door, and we'll go into that a little bit later. But yeah, it's fascinating to see what's happened, what's going to happen, and the names that you're going to hear trying to get that job.
Already starting to hear some names. It was some of the names that we thought LSU would target, but maybe some of these names are actually targeting LSU.
Well, there's no question that Lane Kiffin has already started his PR machine. A lot of phone calls made yesterday, early this morning, just letting everybody know that Lane Kiffin is definitely interested in the job if he were to get a phone call. Not really sure he's going to get a phone call from LSU. But if Scott Woodward gets to the point in the search that he needs to have that conversation, Lane Kiffin is open to having it.
Lane Kiffin, though, if he doesn't get that job ultimately, needs to do a better job of covering his tracks when reaching out for a job.
I just think everybody knows that Lane is Lane. And he's going to do what Lane does, and no big surprises.
You think the Ole Miss fans are going to be, I mean, look, it's not like they're going to kick him out and say, well, if you don't want to be here. Ole Miss, they're thankful that they have Lane Kiffin. But still, I think Lane Kiffin, you got to think maybe long term. And maybe, I've never thought that Lane was a guy that was going to stick around somewhere for 5 years.
It's going to be neat to kind of watch what happens to Manny Diaz down in South Florida. We already know what's happened down in Baton Rouge, and see what kind of angle that Lane Kiffin and how much he wants to push trying to get out of Oxford, Mississippi. Now, I've not been told that he hates Oxford, Mississippi, but it's just Lane Kiffin. I think everybody understands that this is a guy that's not going to let the grass grow underneath his feet. I mean, he's going to be always in a perpetual motion in regards to his coaching career. And I think based on his fondness for South Florida, I think if Miami comes open, you're going to see an opportunity for him potentially to go there. I don't think LSU is going to seriously consider him. And again, we'll go into some of the stories that are now making the rounds about Orgeron. I just don't think that Lane Kiffin is going to be a serious candidate for that job.
Yeah. If you want to talk about what hopping out of the fryer into the skillet, or the skillet into the fryer, you'd be having to worry about some of those issues ultimately that didn't help Coach O and his cause.
No.
Now, the wins and losses, I do believe it was ultimately that, and they didn't think that. They thought he did catch lightning in a bottle, personnel decisions, and seeing that program where it was last year, that maybe they weren't going to get sustained success. And by that, I mean winning 10, an average of 10, 11 games a season. And maybe having that one game where it's going to be LSU and versus Alabama, you can see that with Coach O, and it's based on a lot of things. But the stuff off the field with Coach O, you wonder how much of that affected his decisions there, and was being the head coach his top priority? Or were there other things that occupied maybe his mind?
Well, I'm just going to state the fact. 6 weeks after he won a national championship, he got a divorce. Things changed. His life changed. Opportunities came up in his social circles that was not present, obviously, with 23 years of marriage. So
he'll have plenty of time and opportunities to do that.
He's got a lot of money.
He's got a lot of money.
He's good.
A well-known guy, and he's going to be able to go and have some fun.
Yep.
All right, more on that, more what happened in that game. We'll get to that in a moment. But the games here in the state, Alabama, Auburn, UAB, all winners on Saturday. We'll start with Auburn, the early game there in Fayetteville. Boy, Bo Nix. Gone back, watched it again. Man, some of those throws, it was a different Bo Nix. Even on, I mean, some of the third down throws, Pat, that he made and having to keep drives alive, and I was really impressed. He had the one bad throw. It was the underthrow. But other than that, that was a poised quarterback. He played with a lot of confidence. You can tell his teammates are starting to feed off of that confidence.
Well, you could tell just by his, I guess, the technical aspects of the way that he's carrying himself in the pocket, and even when he's getting out of the pocket, seems like he's slowing some stuff down, especially with his footwork. But when you complete 81% of your passes on the road in the SEC, that is just a fantastic afternoon. He was 21 of 26, 292 yards, two touchdowns. He did have that pick Landrum just mentioned. But only the game against Akron where he completed 91%. I mean, he was on target, and the long ball was there. Just so much that you could say about the poise that he had there in Fayetteville. And you look at this Auburn team all of a sudden winning two games on the road in the SEC. That just builds so much confidence moving forward with what you have left on the schedule. And you got Alabama at home. Don't look now, but Auburn fans are starting to talk about the potential of being in a position to win the SEC West.
You control your own destiny, and the questions that you had about Auburn, maybe some of those questions with the maturation, and they got the off week, so maybe get some guys healthy. You still don't have two of your better defensive players out there. And if there is now that belief, and I believe there is, I think that Auburn might have, they had broken through, so to speak, on Saturday. And I'm not saying they're world beaters by any means. They still have all losable games left on their schedule.
Except South Carolina.
Okay. Well, save it. Yes.
Sorry.
I will give you South Carolina.
When Vanderbilt's about to get their first win in about 5 years, you know.
But it was, you know, Brian Harsin, it's almost like you saw the jubilation and the celebration in the locker room after the game. I don't know if you saw the video, but when he went into the locker room, they were waiting for him. And it was a team that was just going nuts. Now I think maybe it's, you know what, he's been preaching this, that if we just work on us, keep getting better at the things that we do, that message, it's almost like the light came on Saturday and they're like, you know what, Coach was right. It actually did pay off. So that's a huge win for Auburn.
Yeah, and you looked at the game. I mean, if you're an Arkansas fan, how frustrated can you be? Now, I know that the two previous weeks, the opposition and what you were required to do to try to get a win, but, I mean, you outgained Auburn by almost 40 yards in that football game. They were constantly on Auburn's side of the 50-yard line, and they just could not find a way to punch it in. And I thought some of the play calling by Kendall Briles in some of those situations was highly questionable on some of the things that they were trying to do. So the Auburn defense, it bent at times, but it didn't break, and it kept them in the ball game. And again, now Arkansas had a 3-game losing streak. All the upbeat conversations that we had about this Arkansas football program, and within the last 3 weeks, they're 0-3.
Well, nobody was going to overlook Arkansas after the two wins that they had, Texas A&M and Texas. So I think that had something to do with it. But also, Arkansas still has deficiencies. They have them on both sides of the ball. They're not talent-rich on either side. And what you saw Arkansas try to do with their game plan is load up and say, you're not going to run the football on us. And I thought that Mike Bobo and the offensive brain trust, whether it's receivers, offensive line, and Bo Nix went in and said, okay, well, fine. You want to give us the pass? We'll go with the pass. Now it's just up to us to do it, and it was evident on that first drive that they were going to be able to do that. Four different tight ends catching the football. And there were still times, and you could go to, Landon King, He was open. That could have been a big gainer. And that was a catchable football. That's a drop. But there were opportunities that were missed, too.
Treylon Burks is just
he's a stud.
A phenomenal. He's going to make a lot of money at the next level. And I know that he had 109 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns, but why was he not targeted even more than when he was? Just kind of, again,
one
leaves you kind
of
baffled.
The game, he's not even on the field.
No, he had to get a breather. He was out. So, again, I know Pittman's done a really nice job, and they're competitive to where in years past, I mean, they would not be in the game in the fourth quarter against Auburn in years past, okay? So, you know, Arkansas fans, kind of calm down. But you have to ask some questions now, especially by going for 2 in Oxford and not making it, and then you're at home against Auburn, first time you've been at home in over a month, and you lose by more than a touchdown. All of a sudden, that shine on that Arkansas new vehicle is kind of being dulled a little bit.
Good news for the Hogs and Sam Pittman. They get Arkansas Pine Bluff coming up this weekend.
I think that will be a win.
You will. And then look at the rest of Auburn's schedule. Ole Miss coming to Jordan-Hare in 2 weeks. Feel differently about that game if you're an Auburn fan than you probably did a couple of weeks ago. Mississippi State, you're going to get them at home. You still have South Carolina, as you mentioned. Texas A&M on the road in College Station, but I think Texas A&M, reality kind of set back in when you saw the game with Missouri. Look, Missouri's just not a good football team. But Texas A&M, that's a winnable game. You're not going to be, you know, intimidated going in front of 100 and however many thousand there at Kyle Field and then Alabama at the end of the year. So if you're looking at ceiling right now, I mean, for Auburn, yeah, you went out. And that's a really high ceiling. But if you went out, you can go 10-2, go to the SEC championship game. But even 4-1, that looks pretty realistic, a lot more realistic than it did.
Yeah, and I'll be the first person to say that again, there's a lot of football left to be played. We're just halfway through. But I was one that did not believe that this football team would win more than 7, tops 8 games during this football season. But now that ceiling has the potential of being crushed really quick. So, again, hats off for what Auburn's been able to do, especially on the road in the SEC.
Now, Alabama, they got things righted against Mississippi State, and it was evident that Mississippi State, what they wanted to do, their intentions, they're early. Will Rogers, as good as he's been, boy, Alabama's defense just made him look really, really pedestrian on Saturday.
Well, when you're an offense and you decide, you know what, we're just not going to run it, or we're just really not going to try to attempt to run the ball, and we're going to be stubborn, and we're just going to do what we do, and we're not going to change our game plan up. You're going to get the results that you got on Saturday, which was 49-9. Alabama took it to them. There was no double teaming of Will Anderson. Alabama's offensive line was able to establish the run early. Bryce Young was only sacked a couple times as opposed to what happened the week before. And listen, Mississippi State had the 4th best defense in the Southeastern Conference going into the game, so it's not like you were playing Missouri's defense. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, they were able to protect Bryce Young better than what they did the week before against Texas A&M. And you heard Nick Saban after the game. They called a timeout. They changed the play at the goal line. They ran the ball. They established the run. And I think the second half of the season, you're going to see a lot more emphasis on that, on your play calling in regards to Alabama, as opposed to what you did the first 6 games.
Yeah, you mentioned not accounting for Will Anderson. How you don't do that, I have no idea. But coming into the game, Mississippi State had allowed 10 sacks, which seemed pretty high to me when you look at the kind of offense that they run. But Alabama gets 7 on Saturday? Will Anderson with 4? And Toho Toho?
And you had to feel bad for Will Rogers, man, especially when he got his clavicle either separated from his body or separated shoulder, whatever the case it was. But for him to stay in the game against that Alabama defense, and once you saw that he was dinged up, I mean, there was going to be a low chance that Mississippi State was going to keep this competitive to begin with. But once he was dinged up, you know it was over with. There's no way, because, again, Mississippi State, they're not going to run the football. So basically, Bama can just drop guys into coverage, and you can pin your ears back. And if you're Will Anderson, hey, have a night, and he did.
Does a performance versus Mississippi State, does it change your mind at all about any of the remaining games on your schedule, or are you still where you were on Alabama?
You know, after watching Tennessee against Ole Miss, I'm not proclaiming that Tennessee is going to sniff maybe, I mean, listen, I think Tennessee is capable of being inside that number, which I think is 27.
Right.
But Tennessee's got some things moving offensively, and that could be a game in the first half. You know, if Alabama comes out and they kind of play lethargic like they did at Texas A&M, the first half could be competitive, maybe. Again, I'm not calling for an upset, no way, shape, or form. But again, what you've got to give Tennessee credit for what you've seen so far, especially on the offensive side of things. I don't think that they will be able to, you know, keep Alabama at 31 or 34, 35 points in that football game, which means that Alabama would have to give up a ton of points, and I don't see that happening. But to answer your question with a long answer, I think Alabama is exactly where I thought they would be. But just knowing how the attitudes from last week, I think the attention was gotten from what happened down in College Station. And if you're an Alabama fan, that's what you like to hear in regards to the players owning up to their mistakes, players being able to get on the practice field and try to correct those mistakes. So that's the thing that you're probably the most proud of hearing if you're an Alabama fan.
But now, again, Pat, is that consistency going to be there? Is there going to be carryover to the next game? Because that's where the inconsistency with this particular Nick Saban team that we've seen and not stringing together back-to-back performances like that. And I'm not talking about wins. I'm talking about four quarters dominating your opponent. You would expect that to happen against Tennessee. That's what I'm most interested in. What does Alabama look like when they come out against the Vols on Saturday?
Well, and you keep in mind the last time that Tennessee came to Bryant-Denny Stadium, that was a much closer game. And if Garantano had not changed the play and did what he did at the goal line, that game might have been even more uncomfortable for Alabama fans. So again, I'm not calling for, I think the rest of this football season for this Alabama football team, you have got to ultimately respect your competition, and you have got to have a good week of work. You cannot roll out there like you did in College Station and expect, hey, you know what? We're Alabama. This is still a young football team, okay? There's still a lot of guys trying to earn their stripes, so to speak, guys that are going to be able to step in and to be leaders on this football team. And last year, you had so much senior leadership. You had so many guys that had been through these battles before. They were able to say, hey, look, you need to take this seriously this week, okay? We're going to Baton Rouge. Yeah, this is a bad LSU football team, but, you know, we need to take care of business. You need to pay attention and do your work during the week. Don't think that took place against Texas A&M or Florida this year. You just can't go into that habit and do that again against some other teams that's left on their schedule.
No doubt. And right now, you're still, if you're Alabama, you do control your own destiny, but that destiny would include a date with Georgia, who wins again on Saturday. Turns out their defense is almost human-like. Look, they gave up a couple of scores. They gave up a touchdown in the second quarter. They gave up a touchdown in the fourth quarter. But for them to hold Kentucky to 51 yards total rushing, they didn't have to be stellar. And you're not going to be able to play at a peak level week in, week out. Now, I mean, we're in week seven. We just completed week seven. The grind is starting. I mean, I just being there on the UAB broadcast, being on the sideline, you got guys that are just right now, they're just trying to get through it. You're just hoping to get to that bye week. And you really get the full appreciation when you just look in the training room and it's woo. It's a mash unit.
Well,
guys just playing with stuff.
That's why when you get to the likes of Alabama and Georgia, it's about the recruiting. It's about having that depth. When the first guy goes down, you've got somebody that you can plug in. Might not be as talented as the guy that was first string, but you have the depth that you can roll out there when these bumps and bruises start showing up in week six, week seven, and week eight. But to me, it's going to be interesting, and we'll talk to Mike Griffith tomorrow. Because Stetson Bennett continues to just put together a really good football season as the starting quarterback for Georgia. And at what point in time does that become a situation where JT Daniels and Stetson Bennett, that this is a real quarterback controversy in regards to how they're going to go about their business for the rest of the season and perhaps playing for the SEC championship and playing for a college football playoff?
Here's a question you got to ask, though, right now. And it's not a hard question. Do you believe that with Stetson Bennett, Georgia can win a national championship?
Based on that defense, yes, I do. I mean, so again, why upset the apple cart? You know, why make that change? Well, I mean, when Stetson Bennett can go 14 of 20, 250 passing yards, and I mean, that's a good Kentucky defense. I mean, when you're throwing to Brock Bowers, who gets over 100 yards receiving at the tight end position, and you've got all those other guys that potentially could be back, like George Pickens, and you start rolling all these five stars back out on the field. I mean, and no offense to Stetson Bennett, but you and I could probably go out there and throw to some of these guys and put up some of these really solid numbers, but he's taking care of the ball and he's doing the things that's needed to be done on this Georgia offense. But that defense is just, oh my goodness, it's just so dominant that, again, I don't really know if that's going to matter. Now, again, you go up against an offense like Alabama in the SEC championship game, like.
Or even a defense. Even a defense, because we saw Stetson Bennett versus Alabama last year and Bryant Denny. I think that could be something that Kirby Smart's thinking in the back of his mind. He's not thinking about Florida. He's not thinking about the rest of the regular season. He's thinking about, okay, are we going to need JT to beat Alabama? And you just might, because if Alabama dials it up and they play up to their potential, they've got just as much talent or maybe more on their roster.
That's a good point.
Overall, don't think that Kirby's not already obsessing over that matchup. We think we might see.
I mean, but their defense, the historic numbers, I know everybody's heard it over the weekend, they've allowed 46 points through seven games. That's the lowest seven-game total by an SEC team since 1992. Do you remember that 1992 year, right?
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Yeah. So just to put that in perspective of what this Georgia defense is doing right now.
Hey, Twin Peaks wants you to know, if you're looking for the perfect spot to spend your game day, you got to head to Twin Peaks. The 29-degree draft beer is always flowing. The kitchen is bursting with the made-from-scratch fan favorites, and the game is blasting from every angle. This is how we do football season. This is how we do Mondays. It's Reaction Monday. We open up the phone lines to you. No guests. We clear it all out and get your reaction to Auburn, Alabama. Has it changed with Auburn's performance, where Alabama is? Could we be looking at a showdown at Jordan-Hare at the end of the season? 800-239-WJOX, 834-9450, at the number 3-Man Front on Twitter. On this Monday, 3-Man Front, we are Jocks 94.5.
This is 3-Man Front.
Reaction Monday, 800-239-WJOX, 834-9450. We leave it open for you to react to what happened this college football weekend. Auburn, impressive performance. Has it changed your mind about the outlook, the ceiling for Brian Harsin and the Tigers? Alabama, the bounce back after the loss to Texas A&M, dominating performance in Starkville, 49-9 over Mississippi State. You look at it as, you know what? Yep, that's exactly what I needed to see. Is that something that you expected? And now when you look at Bama and the rest of their schedule, is there any stumbling blocks that you potentially see? Do you view Auburn differently? Do you think that we could be gearing up for one of those games, one of those hyped up games that, if you're a football fan and people around the country, that's why they tune in to the greatest rivalry in college football? Is that what we're going to see in Jordan-Hare? The crescendo.
I think it's looking more and more likely than it did a couple weeks ago. That's for sure.
Yeah. We'll take your phone calls, 800-239-WJOX. Major League Baseball last night, the Braves, they win again, dramatic fashion. They get it done 5-4 over the Dodgers. Now lead that game that series 2-0 after they got the win on Saturday. Just a back and forth affair. Braves getting very, very aggressive. Ron Washington, not afraid to wave everybody home.
Well, you got to just, hats off. I mean, Rosario and Peterson, they were just incredible last night. 5 of 10 against Dodger pitching. So including Peterson's blast. So yeah, just Braves are in a really good position now going to the West Coast. And now you could have a situation where even if you just win one game on the West Coast, then come back to Atlanta with a shot to win just one out of the next two to go to the World Series.
You're still not going to convince Braves fans to relax, because we've seen this before. We had one situation with the Dodgers last year when able to get it done. But yeah, 4:08 Central Time, and you can hear it on Jocks 2 tomorrow. 100.5.
And you look at this Dodger team, this is, if you're a Braves and you talk about, you know, destiny and things of that nature, Sunday's loss by the Dodgers snapped a 41-game winning streak for the Dodgers when they had the lead and multiple runs in the eighth inning or later. So for the Braves to be able to come back and do what they did, going against that number that the Dodgers have been so dominant in this year. That's, once again, tip your cap.
Baseball coming up tonight. You got Houston taking on Boston. That's 7:08 on FS1. And that series being tied at one. Boston, what they were able to do this past weekend, grand slams in a couple of innings. Doesn't happen very much, if at all, but it did. And so Major League Baseball, we got NFL coming up tonight right here on Jocks 94.5. How about Donahue Auto right there in Pelham? Great pre-owned selection of not only luxury cars, but they've got trucks. You want a minivan? You just want a family car. It's Donahue Auto. Check them out. Great sales and service staff. It's really easy. Just peruse the great website they here have at DonahueAuto.com. That is DonahueAuto.com. Reaction Monday, we get to your phone calls. 800-239-WJOX, 834-9450. Lee is in Cincinnati. Welcome in, Lee.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And I asked this last week, and I've got to ask it again this week. And I know you probably don't have an answer, but, I mean, is it just me? Or what's it going to take for Dan Mullen to realize that Emory Jones is not who he needs at quarterback? I mean, the guy's leading the team in rushing, for gosh sakes, but he's also leading in completions to the other team. You know what I mean? If I'm not mistaken, LSU scored 21 points on Emory Jones' turnovers.
Correct.
Past weekend.
Correct.
You know? And so it's obvious he is not what Florida needs at quarterback to win. What do you think what is it going to take for Dan Mullen to realize that, do you think?
Well, based on what...
That? And he's just playing it out. I don't understand.
Well, based on what Dan Mullen said after the game, it made it sound like, and you never know with Dan Mullen's comments, but it sounds like that this is going to be a wide-open competition now, and I really do believe that Richardson is probably going to get the nod moving forward.
I certainly hope so because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Emory Jones, but he's not the answer. I think Richardson is a more talented quarterback, and I think he is what Florida needs under center in order to be able to win. You know, I just hope so. And they need to be able to – he needs to be more of a pocket quarterback and hand it off more to the running backs so the running backs can run the ball, not so Emory Jones can just tuck and run every time.
I mean, think about this in that football game, and it was a crazy game. But just think if Florida had those four possessions back where they threw the interceptions – they might have scored 70 points against LSU.
But exactly.
But instead, you lose 49-42 because you turned the ball over four times.
Exactly. But once again, that's the greatness of football, you know. You make a mistake, you're going to pay. And then Florida proved that. And LSU actually isn't as bad a team as what some people think because they capitalized on the mistakes. That's what they had to do to win, and that's exactly what they did. I just don't know what Florida team is going to show up against Georgia. That's what I'm worried about.
And when Lee does Dan Mullen start getting the Coach O treatment where the people who matter down there realize, you know what, this is not the guy that's going to get us back to where we expect to be as a program.
Now, wait a second, Landrum, he's the quarterback whisperer.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's doing a fantastic job with those two guys this year.
And by the way, you need to play defense too because you gave up a school record to a guy at LSU that could not run the ball. Ran the ball for what? 12 yards against Auburn? Yeah. One guy has 287 yards.
That was the most yards ever, even including what Herschel Walker did against Florida years ago. That was the most yards ever yielded on the ground to one player in the history of Florida football.
Well, I wish I could have said that the day I think Dan Mullen was trying to help Ed Orgeron out, you know, to give him the win so that way he'd keep his job, but that didn't even help out, you know? But the bottom line is, around the Florida program, you are starting to hear whispers of that from what I understand from my friends in Gainesville. But the bottom line is they don't know who they could bring in that would be better than Dan Mullen. You know, it's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
I'm with you. You got Georgia coming up on the 30th, and then you finish with Florida State. Look, I'm not ruling it out based on what I've seen. You're playing Florida State.
Florida State's playing better now than they did the first three, 4 weeks of the season.
So you're telling me going 7-5 and following it up where you thought that your program had kind of gotten there last year, you knew you were losing talent, but it's kind of a reload mentality, that's going to be acceptable? No.
Not at all. But who do you go out and get? That's the thing.
Well, it would be the same problem. It would be the exact same problem you had when you hired him, you know? I mean, not a lot of people,
exactly.
You know, falling over themselves for that job. I still think it's a good job, but for whatever reason, they just have not been able to turn the corner with the last few hires.
What I'm hoping happens, I'm hoping Urban Meyer gets fired from Jacksonville when he comes back to Florida.
Well, he's on a one-game winning streak now, so he's happy.
Urban might not be doing anything based on the reports that there's another video that's out there, and there's still more to the story if you're reading all of that and some of the things that are happening.
Did this one happen in a pub in London?
No.
Or was this back in Ohio?
I think there's just another video of it. Could be out there lurking somewhere.
Well, Mullen is not the answer for the Florida Gators. Apparently, Brian Harsin is for Auburn. And I'm very happy for the way the Tigers are playing now because they bought into a system and they're starting to win. And so, but I wish maybe the Gators can get Brian Harsin. I don't know.
Hey, you can go to the – thank you, Lee, for the phone call, listening on the Jocks app in Cincinnati, Ohio. But
now, isn't the buy, what's Harsin's buyout based on what USA Today reported last week? Is it like 15, 16 million, something like that?
It's up there.
That's like Ed Orgeron money right there.
17 and a half? Tell you what, it's not. It's not 49 million.
No.
I don't think that'll ever be done again, which is really crazy to think about. But yeah, Dan Mullen. I go back to it, and I said it before the Texas A&M game, or Texas A&M Alabama. I just asked, who is the more overrated coach? Is it Jimbo or is it Dan Mullen?
So Dan Mullen gets a moral victory against Alabama, but you lose on the road against Kentucky. You beat the snot out of Vanderbilt. Like,
congrats.
What's he done this year?
Right. He's a quarterback whisperer, right?
Yeah. Apparently so.
By the way, Anthony Richardson threw two interceptions, too. And he was 10 of 19. It's not like he came out there and it was like, wow, if they'd only played him the whole game.
I understand. That was a really bad one. The one that pretty much ended the game, that one was, ooh, that was like Pony League football stuff right there. I mean, that was bad.
800-239-WJOX, 834-9450 on Reaction Monday. Bama Bo, welcome into Three Man Front.
Yeah, but I wanted to talk about the officiating, not so much on the field, but like the replay officials. Like, hey, what's going on? You got the announcer saying that the call's going to be overturned. They bring the rules expert in. Like, it's obvious on TV what the call should be, and they get it wrong. I mean, what's going on with these guys?
Man, I don't know, and I'm like you, Bama Bo, because now it used to be where – I thought I could predict what they were going to do. Oh, they're going to obviously overturn this. But now my train of thought is, who knows? Flip a coin. It could go either way because you're right. Even if it's clear and convincing evidence, we're still not convinced we're going to get it. It's the same in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. They got the call right in the Tennessee game. But there was a call, I think, Mechie, they overturned a call where he dropped there was an incomplete pass. There was a call in the Auburn game. It's just like obvious to us at home, but they go against, I mean, I don't know, man. It's really aggravating that the replay is there to get the call right on the field, and it seems like they keep getting it completely wrong.
Yeah, I thought the Slade-Bolden call on the reception.
That's what it was, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they had some kind of a different angle that Greg McElroy and Joe Test didn't have. I'm not really sure, but that one was shocking. And needless to say, what went on up in Knoxville, Tennessee is going to have a lot of people talking for many years to come.
Yeah. All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Bo. Appreciate it. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second because I know we haven't gotten into it. But, you know, and I was pretty vocal on Twitter during the game when this was going on because I thought this was a complete embarrassment for the Southeastern Conference, what went on up at Neyland Stadium. Granted, I know that it was a very few. It was not all 101,000 people that was in attendance. Trust me, I saw your tweets. I saw your text in regards to me kind of taking shots at them. My shots were more at the officiating crew for not taking hold of the situation, period. Landrum, you and I both umpire. If you've got some really unruly fans, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're probably going to walk over to the head coach of the baseball team, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to tell him, Coach, I know you're not saying anything right now, but if you can't get your guys under control, then I'm going to have to ask you to exit the ball game, and you can watch the rest of it from the parking lot, okay? Why did it take 20 minutes? Why does the referees not have the power? Start dropping unsportsmanlike conduct penalties on the home team, okay? If you want to penalize a sideline for a sideline warning, or you want to penalize players for not having their pads pulled down over their kneecaps and all that kind of crap. You mean to tell me that you can't throw a flag on the home fans for doing crap like that and holding up the game?
And I understand it. I agree. But in that situation with the student section, the majority of the student section, I think that it was already to them a foregone conclusion that they had just gotten screwed out of a potential win. They didn't see any possibility of being able to come back. So at that point in their mind, flag us. Who cares? Give them 15-yard penalties.
Okay. So let's say you don't penalize them. If there was a storm in the area, what would they have done at that stadium?
Exactly.
If there was lightning in the area.
That's what they should have done.
They would have cleared the stadium out,
yes.
Right? Okay. Well, guess what? Clear the stadium out. Play the last 50 seconds of the football game with nobody in attendance, period. If you do not have enough support from security and police at Neyland Stadium, then clear the whole thing out and finish the game that way.
And that's the problem. You're not going to have, 20,000 law enforcement officers. A lot of those bottles. And I realized, because I did see students in the stands that were turned around facing, because they were getting hit by people that were throwing them from higher levels. It wasn't every single Tennessee student that was throwing a bottle or a golf ball or whatever else they were throwing on the field.
But you cannot allow that to happen. I mean, the SEC has to really slam. I mean, if you're going to penalize teams and fan bases for running onto the field after defeating an opponent, and it could go $250 or $500,000, they need to lower the boom today on Tennessee, because it's going to set a precedence moving forward.
And I was listening, because I was coming back from Hattiesburg from the broadcast we did for UAB and Southern Miss. I was listening, and it was Brett Norsworthy. It was the Ole Miss Network that was there on satellite. And I heard them talking about it, and apparently Josh Heupel had gone out and to the middle. He's trying to get the fans to stop. But at that point, I don't know if they're going to listen to Josh Heupel. I don't know if they listen to anyone. The only person they might listen to would be a member of law enforcement that says, hey, you know what? You're about to go to jail. Or you're cuffing him. But just like when you rush the field, what are you going to be able to do? It was a tough situation. You're right. Levying, fines. I think the only way to do it is to clear the stadium. But then once you clear the stadium, you're talking about, how long are we delaying the football game?
Yeah, just clear the lower bowl. Don't clear the whole thing. Unless somebody's got a cannon of an arm up in the upper deck. I know that they can still throw projectiles, but the bottom line, it was embarrassing. It was a great atmosphere. It was a great game. There was a lot of back and forth. I know there was a lot of questions about the officiating, which seems to always happen with that particular officiating crew in the SEC. But the SEC's got to come down hard on this, because this is a black eye to the conference. And when you look around at the different news sources that reported about this, and I'm not talking about SportsCenter, I'm talking about the Today Show, I'm talking about the CBS Morning Show, things of that nature, it gives the SEC a black eye, just like it did when a crazy guy poisoned the tumor trees down in Auburn. It just gives the conference as a whole a bad name, and they need to take care of it.
It just makes me ask the question, who brings golf balls in their pocket to go watch a football game? Seriously. Why are you bringing golf?
But see, Tennessee fans, they want to pivot the conversation. They say, well, the SEC, they shouldn't be talking about, clearing the stadium out and doing things that they need to have a conversation about the officiating. Well, okay, well, that needs to be a bigger conversation that needs to be had at the spring meetings in Destin. But moving forward, you cannot allow any fan base to take over a football game like they did on Saturday night. You cannot let that happen.
And the pitiful thing about it, and you mentioned it, it was a heck of a football game.
And the crowd was tremendous. Yeah. And keep in mind, I know that it was not 95% of the fans there at Neyland Stadium. But you know what? That small percentage of fans that did what they did, either the people sitting next to them should have immediately reported them and got them arrested or got them out of the stadium or whatever the case may be. But you cannot let a mob take over a football game like that.
No, and we've seen it in college basketball. He goes over to the scores table, he grabs the microphone, and he says, guys, got to stop. You got to stop. Mm-hmm. Now, that's easier to control with 5,000 students maybe or 3,000 students than it is with what seems like you're talking to 110,000
people.
We were
cold during the broadcast. It was dangerous, very dangerous for everybody on that sideline.
No doubt. Clearing the band out, the cheerleaders.
Yeah, I mean, you can't even protect your own cheerleaders or your band. You're getting them off the field. That should tell you right there that you got a major problem.
800-239-WJOX. We continue to get your reaction. You want to react to that? You can. Also, we asked the question, Auburn and Alabama, their performances this weekend. Does it change your mind about what could be shaping up to be a very interesting and entertaining Iron Bowl? Three Man Front on this Reaction Monday, Jocks 94.5.
Three Man Front, weekdays.
Right here on Jocks.
Jocks 94.5.
Jocks 94.5, Pat Smith, Landrum Roberts, John Saber. Reaction Monday. Love to hear from you, taking your phone calls. The lines are out for this week. Bama is a 27-point favorite as of right now against the Tennessee Volunteers. And that's a big game, as always. It's a rivalry game down in Tuscaloosa, and I've got the best place for you to try to get your tickets. Tickets for Less. It's your local source for Bama football tickets. Find the best selection of seats without those added taxes or those per-ticket service fees that you find at other ticket sites. Go to ticketsforless.com, or you can call them today, 205-758-1199, or visit their office at 1410 University Boulevard, or shop online at ticketsforless.com.
We take you to the Three Man Front Twitter feed. As always, it's brought to us by Southern Pipe and Supply. And at Steelman275 says that, I think Dan Mullen and James Franklin are the same coach. Win 8 to 9 games wherever they go. Lose the big games, with the exception Franklin has won Big Ten championships. So he might be 1 year better than Mullen.
James Franklin's going to get a lot of conversation about the LSU job.
Lots of conversation. And if I'm James Franklin, I tell Scott Woodward, send the plane. I'm out.
$8 million and I'm there.
You think with Penn State recruiting to Happy Valley, as opposed to not even having to really lose your campus or leave your campus?
No, it's right across the street. You've got... Was that University Lab?
Yeah.
The high school that's right across the street?
Dylan Moses and all the other guys that have gone there? It's actually part of the campus? Just go over there.
That's even why it's more amazing that Alabama was able to get them to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, but James Franklin, you know the salesman that he is. He can get people to buy
James Franklin
in.
Would do real well there.
I think he'd do really well as well. But, no, Dan Mullen, I think he's got issues, and I think that now we will see the patience of the Florida fans start wearing thin.
But he got a contract extension,
I know,
man.
But Todd Grantham, he's going to have to address that as well.
Nah, he'll be gone.
And I would think so. He's going to be the fall guy.
I thought he was going to be gone last year.
And this is true. You can tweet at us, at the number three man front. It is Reaction Monday. If you want to react to Auburn, Bo Nix, their performance, and Fayetteville, Alabama bouncing back versus Texas A&M, and could we be building up, if things go like Auburn and Alabama fans would hope, to a showdown at Jordan-Hare.
Be a lot of fun.
Have a 9-2 Auburn team entering that game. Have an Alabama team that would be 10-1. Could be epic. And we're here for it. 800-239-WJOX. We do have our train hot and cold of the weekend. We do this on Mondays as well. And as football season rolls on, you know, changes in the weather, they're coming. Protect your HVAC system with a checkup from a Trane Comfort Specialist. It's going to give you peace of mind for the cooler weather to come. They're the official partner of Jocks, and you can find a Comfort Specialist near you at Trane.com. And like we say, it is hard to stop a train. Well, it's pretty simple. The hot for me, you might have expected it, but courtesy of TBS, this is Last Night.
Jacked over 454 feet, 112 off the bat.
Pearls and all, Jock Peterson, Mr. Clutch, Jocktober, doing it against his former team. But it's not the first time he's done it in the postseason. How about this, Pat? 14 at-bats through 6 games. He's got 5 hits. He's scored 3 runs. He's got 7 RBIs. And 3 home runs. And last night, after the Braves go down 2-0, the Dodgers' first inning home run, what a pivotal time to do it, and to do it off of Scherzer.
Yeah, you just kind of wonder what the front brass there for the Dodgers are thinking after they let him go off and sign the deal with Chicago, then ultimately ended up there in Atlanta. The hot for me is Louisiana Monroe. How about Terry Bowden's Warhawks? They're a 33-point underdog and became the second team to win two games in a season as an underdog by at least 23 points. ULM is now 3-3 under Terry Bowden. The Warhawks were 0-10 last year, Landrum. So, again, hats off to ULM. They're my hot for the week.
The cold for me is going to be the Iowa Hawkeyes. And you had everything on a platter for you, Kurt Ferentz. Everything. Your remaining schedule was against teams with a combined record of 15-19 entering the weekend. You had a Purdue football team coming in. We didn't know how you were getting it done, but it was opportunistic defense. Well, your defense was not opportunistic. It actually allowed an awful lot of opportunities for Aiden O'Connell, who was 30 of 40 for 375 yards. Two touchdowns. Meanwhile, your offense, Spencer Petras, Petras was not good. 17 of 32, four interceptions, 195 yards.
Mm.
And you couldn't run the football either. 76 yards there. You get beat 24-7.
Not good. The cold for me, Dan Mullen, we've been talking about him. How about his record now against these coaches in the SEC? He's 0-2 against Nick Saban at Alabama. He's 0-1 against Jimbo Fisher since Jimbo has been at Texas A&M. He's 1-2 against Kirby Smart. He's 1-3 now against Ed Orgeron. He's 2-2 against Mark Stoops. So if you're keeping score at home, he's 4-10 against Saban, Fisher, Smart, Orgeron, and Stoops. Not good. Dan Mullen filling the heat in Gainesville.
Seasons change. One thing that never changes, the reliability of a Trane. That's why Trane has been named America's most reliable and trusted brand in HVAC for seven consecutive years, and they're our heating and cooling partner here at Jocks. Visit Trane.com to find a comfort specialist near you. They test so it runs. It's hard to stop a Trane. Your phone calls are welcome. Reaction to Auburn and Alabama. Other college football this weekend, 800-239-WJOX.
This is Three Man Front on Jocks 94.5.